every heart longing for a king. We sing every heart.
my help come from the Lord. God, you are the only answer in this day. Father, and we are the ones that have the answer because of you. Lord, we hold the keys of hope to a world that is crazy chaotic. Lord, you are our firm foundation. And our eyes are fixed on you. Calls me on louder than every lie, my sword in every fight, the truth that chases away the night. Your name is power over darkness, freedom for the captives, mercy for the broken and the hopeless. Your name is faithful in the battle, in the struggle, mighty in one let us down with feelings. Your name is power. Oh, your name is power. I know it is written, hope is certain. I know that the word will never fail. I know that in every situation, you speak the power to prevail. Louder than every lie, my sword in every fight, the truth will chase away the night. Your name is power over darkness, freedom for the captives, mercy for the broken and the helpless. Your name is faithful in the battle, glory in the struggle, mighty in one let us down with faithless. Your name, your name is power over darkness, freedom for the captives, mercy for the broken and the hopeless. Your name is faithful in the battle, for me in the struggle, mighty it won't let us down, who fails. Your name is power. Oh, your name is power. Your name is power. Your name is power. Your name is power. When you speak, you scatter darkness. Night arrives and heaven opens. Holy Spirit, let us hear it. When you speak, the church awakens. We believe the change is coming. Holy Spirit, let us see it. When you speak, you scatter darkness. Light arrives and heaven opens. Holy Spirit, let us hear it. When you speak, the church awakens. We believe the change is coming. Holy Spirit, your name, power over darkness, freedom for the captives, mercy for the broken and hopeless. Your name is faithful in the battle, glory in the struggle. Mighty won't let us down or fail. Your name is power.
So, this is a struggle for me, and I know it's a struggle for all of you, the times we're going through right now, but the Lord is just speaking to me and speaking to my heart, and just something I got to do. But when we're singing these words, we got to believe them. You know, don't sing them to make me believe, but for Him to believe. We know these times we're going through are trying for a lot of people, but if this is your last time you get to worship the Lord and give Him your all, because all we really have is our worship, right? That's all we have to offer Him. I don't know about you, but the world thinks that I have, He doesn't want. Amen? So right now, we're getting a free pass as Christians, okay? The things that are going on around us, we're getting a free pass because now we're able to be Christ-like. Now is the time for us to reach out to people that are hurt or offended, our neighbors, our loved ones, people we've been estranged from. Now we can reach out and ask for forgiveness with a purpose and a meaning to it, right? Our hearts, deep in our hearts, we can ask and say, hey, I'm sorry for what I did to you. I'm sorry if I offended you. I'm sorry if you think I don't love you. This is the time we can reach out. We can bear fruit. Amen? Not sour grapes. People need to see that the Word of God is alive and active in our hearts, in our minds, and in our souls. That we're not scared. The only thing we fear is that people are going to pass away not knowing Christ. That's the only thing that scares me today. That's what hurts me the most as a Christian, is that other believers don't understand there is power in the name of Jesus. Amen? So that's what we got to do here. We have to unite. We have to love. We have to bear the cross, right? We got to do what we can. Okay? So here today, I just ask you, just come together. Just talk to the Lord. Repent. We all have something we need to repent for. And in order to be used, we got to humble ourselves. We got to ask for forgiveness. And then we reach out to our loved ones. And then to people we don't know. People that we've mean mugged or made faces at because they cut in front of us at the line, right? At the grocery store. We got to think about our elderly, about the people that don't have anybody or that can't stand in line for hours. Right? Not because we're scared, because we want to do the right thing. We want to be Christ-like. Amen. Amen.
No other name but the name of Jesus. No other name. There's no other name but the name of Jesus. No, no other name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And at the name of Jesus, every tongue confess that you are Lord. You're the Lord of all, that you are Lord. There's power in the name of name of Jesus. When you speak, you scatter darkness, light arrives, heaven opens. Holy Spirit, let us hear it. When you speak, the church awakens. We believe the change is coming. Holy Spirit, let us see. When you speak, you scatter darkness. Light arrives and heaven opens. Holy Spirit, let us hear it. When you speak, the church awakens. We believe the change is coming. Holy Spirit, let us see it. Your name is power. Your name is power. Over darkness, freedom for the captive. Mercy for the broken and the homeless. Your name is faithful in the power. In the struggle, mighty won't let us down. We'll fail. Your name is power. Name is power. You're worthy of it all. From you all things, to you all things, you deserve the glory. From you all things, to you all things, you deserve the glory. From you all things, to you all things, you deserve the glory.
What are you saying right now?
mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will see how the goodness of God.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days have been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkest night. You are closer than no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am in, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Your goodness.
Your goodness is running out, is running after me. Your goodness is running out.
Elements and then take them home. I hadn't been doing that, but
I picked it up. I picked some up last night, and I've just kind of been looking into a deeper understanding of communion. But I wanted to read something that this woman author wrote about communion. Her name is Dorothy Sayers, and she was like a friend of C.S. Lewis. We have very efficiently paired the clause of the Lion of Judah, certified him meek and mild, and recommended him as a fitting household pet for pale curates and pious old ladies. To those who knew him, however, he in no way suggested a milk and water person. They objected to him as a dangerous firebrand. True, he was tender to the unfortunate, patient with honest inquirers, and humble before heaven. But he insulted respectable clergymen by calling them hypocrites. He referred to King Herod as that fox. He went to parties with disreputable company and was looked upon as a gluttonous man and a winebibber. A friend of publicans and sinners, he assaulted indignant tradesmen and threw them and their belongings out of the temple. He drove a coach and horse through a number of sacrosanct and hoary regulations. He cured diseases by any means that came handy, and a shocking callousness in the matter of other people's pigs and property. He showed no proper deference for wealth or social position. When confronted with neat dialectical traps, he displayed a paradoxical humor that affronted serious-minded people, and he retorted by asking disagreeable, searching questions that would not be answered by rule of thumb. He was emphatically not a dull man in his human lifetime, and if he was God, there can be nothing dull about God either. I just wanted to say that, you know, we are temples, and we can fill ourselves with other things besides God. And when we take communion, we are commingling with the Creator God, the Almighty God of heaven and earth. And so I'm saying that you should know who you're commingling with. You should look into who he is, all of his characteristics. So when you eat his body, you're saying, I want to be like him. And so I think it's kind of interesting, because at home, say you want to get realigned with Christ, you can have some crackers and some juice, or I mean, it could be water, it could be whatever you have. I mean, I'd like to have something set aside, like some juice and some crackers set aside just for taking communion. You can realign yourself quietly on your own or with other family members and take communion. So anyway, that's all I got. And then money can go in the buckets for just funding church needs. And in the back, there's a slot in the table where you can put tithes for the church. So.
Good job, Josiah, bringing that communion right in. The buckets are open, so you can come up at any point in time during service. That would be fine. You could even do it now. Kids, you could head off to class. Your teachers will be waiting for you. So there's still some stuff happening. Tonight specifically, Evangel House is still going on, 6 o'clock here, but TriHop will also be here. Last Friday.
Well, welcome. Just so you know, we don't really have any intention of canceling anything ever. it would take a lot to say no to this. What happened this morning? Dan's not, I think he left. Is back getting something to drink, but what happened this morning is exactly what we need. Oh my gosh, the songs that we sang and the heart that we sang it with, and the excitement that is in the air about what Jesus could do in an hour like this. This is exactly what the church needs. Not that we pray for natural disasters, but so be it. You know, it's just like, this is what we want. We want a life in Christ that's real and alive and active. And this is just what the church needs right now, is to be brought to life. And this is a great time to do it. There is a move of God that's about to happen in Longview, Kelso, in about a month or so, that does nothing to do with viruses. Although, who knows? But it's remarkable. Starting April 19th for 3 weeks, churches in town are going to preach the same message. 10 of them that I know of, and maybe 11, are going to preach the same message for those 3 weeks. The 19th, the week after that, and the first week in May. And the whole focus is on how we change our lives to open our hearts to our neighbors. It's called the Art of Neighboring. And it came out of a move of God that happened at a city in Colorado, where they were meeting with these pastors were meeting with the mayor in Colorado, a smaller city in Colorado, and asking him what they can pray for. And he said, well, if you really want to know what would help our city, it's, could you do something that will connect our neighbor or our neighborhoods with each other, the people in our neighborhoods with each other? And so they did. They preached a message together in their city, the same message along the lines of, let's get to know our neighbors, let's find out who we live around, and begin to build relationships with each other in our neighborhoods, with the whole idea that if anything happens, we'll be there for each other. We can celebrate when nothing's going on, and when we're going through difficult times, we're together. Now, I'm thinking, what is that city like right now? They've already got a foundation of relationship with neighbors in that city right now. I forget the name of the city, but it slips in my mind. But they've spent the last 2 years developing the art of neighboring in their city. How much further ahead is that city than any other city in the nation? It's just remarkable. So they wrote a book about it. It's called The Art of Neighboring. You can go on Amazon and pick it up. It's less than 10 bucks. I would encourage you to begin to read it now, and then what we share in those 3 weeks, starting the April 19th, you'll already know it. And you'll already be on board with it. And then what we're going to do after that is, starting Memorial Day, we're going to begin to actively pursue neighboring in the city. So we're going to encourage you to begin to develop relationships with your neighbors, just in a couple blocks around your house, and then have gatherings through the summer and invite them to your house. And this is a different kind of invitation. Instead of inviting them into the seclusion of our backyards with our fences, we're going to try to develop front porch ministry out in the front yards and in the sidewalks and the streets of our neighborhoods. Start to develop some, breakfast, some barbecues and lunches and dinners, and just some ways to interact with each other, get to know each other as neighbors, and see if we can't change our city from the neighborhood out. And so it's remarkable what could happen in these next couple months. Now, that said, many of you know this is what we should be already doing. But it's going to get jump-started. I know you guys are thinking, we only have a couple neighbors. But look at the relationship that we'll develop with those couple neighbors. And so there's a lot that's been happening in the city over the last couple of years that I think is feeding into this. And the speaker that we have today, Larry Hembry, is Janelle's dad. And he is going to share with us. And this was all set up before any kind of art of neighboring or coronavirus began to happen. He's going to just share with us. He's the leader of emergency management in the county. And so he has a different perspective on the whole county. And I can't imagine what you've been doing the last couple of days. It's probably been remarkable. And he'll probably share some of that with us. But he's been scheduled to share with us for months. And I think this is all part of God's plan to cause a movement in our city that is going to be unprecedented. You think this movement's unprecedented, counseling these schools. Think what it's going to be like when our neighborhoods get changed. When you actually know the names, the kids' names, the occupations, the talents and gifts of your neighbors, and you begin to not just say hi to each other, but you know these people at a deeper level than you ever have before. It's going to change life in Kelso Longview, and I'm really excited about it. So, Larry, come on up. While he's coming up and getting set up, I just want to say, this week there's been a lot going on. There's been, Tammy's mom has passed away. Grant and Katie Stonex have had a baby, and that was, it was kind of a difficult birth, and so we've been standing together in prayer with them. Teresa's, is she in back home yet? Back here yet? She's at OHSU, and she's been going through really difficult surgeries. Her heart's been acting up. Tom's sick, and he's just been dealing with some stuff that he deals with all the time, but he came in looking pretty peaky today, so I just want to pray really quickly. And if you're around Tom or Tammy or James or Rick and Cindy aren't out here right now, but oh, Cindy's right there. Cindy, maybe you could just gather a couple people around you and you pray for Katie and Grant the way that you want them prayed for, and we can stand with you. So let's just gather around these people right now and pray for them just for a moment. Yes.
My sister went into the ER this morning.
Your sister went to the ER. Oh. Okay, so maybe a couple people could gather around Andrew and he could lead you in prayer. And then we'll pray for a couple minutes and then Larry will get going. There's just a lot of things that are happening around us. This is a good time to pray.
So if I can, if it's all right with you, I'm going to go ahead and just start with prayer, because I believe that's where everything begins and ends. So, Father, I just come before you right now, and I raise up this body of believers. Lord, I'm so grateful for the word that you've already spoken into us this morning. Lord, you know that I have a passion for learning how to communicate with you and how you communicate with us. And Lord, you truly have spoken to us this morning through the words, through the musics, just through the kindness and the gentleness of each other. And Lord, I just ask that as we go forward here, that you give me the words that you want to say. And Lord, that you give these people the heart to hear what you have. In your precious son, Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Jeff, and for you for coming this morning. It is crazy times, right? And like Pastor said, I believe it was November we got together, and I started a new job in September, and we sat down and we talked about how could we do this? How could we share this? And so many of the things that were spoken this morning, it's just incredible, God's timing. And so I appreciate the fact that Pastor loves you so much and that he loves us so much that he's put me here today. And I acknowledge God's timing is perfect. And however, like most of you, I have occasionally thought, can you just give me a clue, God, why I'm supposed to do this and when I'm supposed to do it? So sometimes we just don't know why or when. So I'd like to start by telling you a little bit about myself so that you understand that we are not so different and that, contrary to that, we're also so much different. And that's what makes us strong. First, I want to tell you I'm not a prophet of doom. I don't go around just always doing this, but in my role where I'm at now, that's what I have to do. I have to think of the worst case, what if, and then help people roll back from that. I do believe that because of my life experiences, that the two greatest ways to conquer fear, number one, be prepared. But even more important than that is to know God. So today I want to talk to you about how Noah, Moses, and a group of brothers have some things in common. I was born and raised in Kelso. Spent pretty much all my life here, except for a brief stop in an elementary school up north when my dad was working highway construction. And my mom and I and dad, we lived in a camper. July 1st of this year, I will be married to my high school sweetheart for 43 years. I've got a couple of amazing daughters and Janelle. I mean, one of them's Janelle. I have 6 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. In January of 1978, I started an 8-year journey as a volunteer firefighter with the then Cowlitz County Fire District 2, which later became Cowlitz 2 Fire and Rescue. Then in 1986, I was honored and privileged to begin a 24-year career that ended because of a back injury. Over those 32 years, I witnessed many incredible events, and some horrific and some historic. Some directly prepared me for things to come, and some indirectly. And some I was not prepared for at all. Do you remember, some of you, the 95 and 96 flooding events? Historic, 500-year and 1,000-year floods. How about the 1980 snowstorm? Now, I remember that well because my wife was pregnant with Janelle, and I was snowed in town for 3 days. And then there was the 2004 snow and ice event. How about the Aldercrest landslide? To this day, it's the second largest in terms of cost in American history, with 137 homes condemned. November 11th of 1993 and November 15 of 2003, 10 years and a few days apart and less than a quarter mile apart, head-on train collisions off of Carroll's Bluff near I-5. The Ballpark wildfire in Ostrander, a couple of tornado touchdowns, additional wind events, motor vehicle accidents, slides that closed various highways and roads, fires from illegal burns to house fires to businesses, major wildfires, medical emergencies, many many medical emergencies. Though, through it all, the most common words I was often spoken to by those in need, in their greatest time of need for themselves or for somebody they loved, was, "I never thought it would happen to me." So my career started as a firefighter, and I tested and promoted to lieutenant, which was probably one of the most difficult challenges of my life, because no longer was I the guy that was taking the hose or putting up the ladder or searching for the people or whatever it was that I was to do. Now all of a sudden I had to count on other people to do the role that I had taken so seriously, had put so much into, in order to do what needed to be done to help others. It was kind of like all of a sudden being the key player on a championship caliber team and no longer being the guy that was doing the blocking or the guy that was doing some other thing that oftentimes gets overlooked. So my career, I later tested, promoted to captain, then to division chief, where I had awakening number two. And this had to be the most difficult challenge of my career, because no longer did I go out and sit in the front seat of an engine or an ambulance and respond to the emergencies. Now I was sitting at a desk, behind a desk, behind a computer, and had to help train everybody else how to do this job. And if you understand anything about firefighters, understand this: they're adrenaline junkies. And myself included, we like to hear the bell go off so that we can go solve the next puzzle. It was during this time that I was blessed to find the most enjoyable part of my career. And that was where we started the fire science programs at Lower Columbia College and with Kelso School District for Cowlitz County. During that time that I was made the planning section chief in charge of planning, training, and our volunteer and career forces and the high school program. So I just want to explain something. Planning to the fire service at this time was showing up at 8 o'clock in the morning and trying to figure out what's for lunch. Planning continued during the course of the shift, because after lunch we figured out what we were having for dinner. And that's truly the extent of planning. But God was and is so good, because when I was forced to retire, not only did we have a highly successful high school and college program, we had volunteers, interns, and shift volunteer programs that provided many opportunities to serve in their communities here in Cowlitz County as volunteer firefighters, some as career firefighters, others the opportunity to pursue a career in emergency service fields. Some were able to become internationally accredited as firefighters, fire officers, fire investigators, fire instructors, and others across this state, nationally, and around the world. And then others were able to serve as part of emergency response teams that traveled around Washington State and the Pacific Northwest, some even nationally, internationally. And not only did we get from those days of planning for lunch, but we went to being able to plan for the next three shifts. And from there, we were able to go to the next month. And from there, when I retired, we actually had a 10-year plan. That is an amen. So my current role with the Department of Emergency Management, 10 plus years after I retired from the emergency response career, I'm able to take these life experiences of going to people during their time of need and people saying, I never thought it would happen to me, to now I get to go and say, it's going to happen. How are we going to prepare? Whatever it may be, how are you going to prepare? And my goal, as I spoke to Pastor about, was my goal is to help people prepare for the worst case scenario. And then after that, roll it back. In a nutshell, the Department of Emergency Management is the what if department. Most people don't know about us. We work under the guidance of the Cowlitz County Sheriff's Office. And if I can paraphrase what it says, if you were to look us up on the webpage, our mission is the Cowlitz County Department of Emergency Management is to execute the Cowlitz County Board of Commissioners' responsibility to maintain an emergency management system by planning, preparing, and providing for the prevention, mitigation, and or management of emergencies, blah, 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 blah. Right? So basically, what do I do and why am I here today? Because promoting community disaster preparedness for the citizens of Cowlitz County. I do this in a variety of ways, and I really do appreciate this opportunity. I've been to 3 other churches in the last 3 weeks, and there's interest. There's interest, but God's timing is rarely understood, as it is for me now. Last week, how much attention were we paying to COVID-19? The outbreak is something that I'm still trying to wrap my head around, as are many of you. Rumors, panic, fear, and social media are possibly as dangerous to us as the actual problem. Sometimes, right? We would be much better off without this. So how many of you have ever had the flu? You know? Yeah? And how many of you know that typically this time of the year the flu hits, right? And then you know you're supposed to wash your hands 20 seconds. And that's not just during flu season, okay? But, and if you sneeze, you're supposed to into your elbow, right? Which kind of leads to hugging, you know, anyway. You know, the shaking hands, the high fives, you know, we're supposed to be careful and all of that. Well, we know all of this, but we fail to practice it, right? So play along with me for just a minute, if you would, please. I want you to close your eyes for me for just a few seconds. And I want you to imagine we've just experienced an 8.0 earthquake. What are your thoughts? You can open your eyes now. Are you imagining where you are right now? Or are you thinking about at home? Are you imagining Sunday or Monday, Tuesday, or any day during the week? Are you thinking about yourself or are you thinking about somebody that you care deeply about? If you are following along and would like to, I'm going to take a piece from Exodus 12, 31 through 33. To set this up, Moses had returned to Egypt somewhere around 1450 BC. And for about the next 4 years, he had been showing up at this palace and asking or demanding that Pharaoh let my people go. Can you imagine what that would have looked like had social media been available then? Moses returning to Egypt, headlines. Moses goes to the palace. You know, all of the different things that would have come out of that. Over the next 4 years, God has unleashed 10 plagues on the people of Egypt. The last costing Pharaoh his son. So finally, Pharaoh starts to understand that maybe this God that Moses is referring to means business. So here in Exodus 12, 31, 33, we read, "During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, 'Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord you have as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said and go. And also bless me.' The Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise, they said, we will all die." Now, not only did they urge them to leave, they gave them their clothing and they gave them their gold. Right? So for 4 years, these people have been thinking they are going to be leaving Egypt. So 4 years ago, they were prepared to leave, right? Moses comes back, tells them we're going to be leaving. They're ready to leave. So if I told you 4 years in a row, you're going to leave. Come the fourth year, how prepared are you? So it sounds so simple, right? Just pack for the next 40 years for a trip that should take us less than 2 weeks through the desert. But on top of that, throw in, we're going. Nah, we're not going yet. We're going. Nah, not yet. 10 times. And then it finally happens. And much like the fire department, came in the middle of the night. Wake up, we're leaving. Oh my goodness, I need luggage, I gotta go to the ATM, I need... You know, what are all the things that all of a sudden you need if you have to go? Are my clothes washed? And the bread. What about the bread? Let's just ask the Egyptians for all their gold and all their clothing and, you know, surprise, they gave it to you. So you've got all your essentials, you know what you're going to take, you're ready to leave, you're good to go, and now you get all these extra clothes and gold. Now, I haven't had the privilege of carrying a bunch of gold. I've had a little bit in my hand, and it's pretty heavy. So you're going to start on this trip, and you're going to take this gold. Well, if you take this gold, what are you leaving behind? And the reason I say this is because this is what we do so many times, is material things, material possessions, not true life-sustaining things, but material things become more valuable than what we actually need. So I want to ask you, what's wrong with planning this way and planning for you right now? Are you prepared? With emergency supplies, food, water, critical medications, clothing, shelter, heat, light, and most importantly, apparently, toilet paper. And where and who is your emergency contact? Outside of this area. And I even go as far as tell people, don't have anybody on the west coast of the United States as your emergency contact. Go inland. But don't go to Montana because cell signal is terrible in Montana. And I really, truly want you to think about who is it that you may have contacts with that way. Simply because Monday through Friday, does anybody have a job? Does anybody have children in school? Does anybody have family members that maybe live a few miles away? Because if we have this 8.0 earthquake, 9.0 is what they say for the big Cascadia from British Columbia to Northern California. If we have this earthquake, what's it going to look like here? We've got experts that have a lot of predictions, but I'm here to tell you that where we live, it's all listed as some of the highest areas for liquefaction. What does that mean? Basically, the ground turns to quicksand. Now, okay, what do we do with that? Procrastination, inconsistency, lack of eye on the prize, financial difficulties, a lack of a plan, are all common obstacles for emergency or disaster planning. But in our story about Moses and Pharaoh, that was then, and this is now, right? It would never happen to us, would it? Enter coronavirus. Who saw that coming? It's just incredible how things change. Does it seem that we were prepared? And was it really somebody else's responsibility for us to be prepared? Because there's a lot of blame going around. We keep hearing warnings like this, and much like Moses saying, we're going, we tend to let our guard down. Like other stories from the Bible, emergencies and disasters, whether man-made or of nature, are going to happen. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but for those of you that may have been born before 1970, you may have heard of something called Mount St. Helens, and it was going to blow. For a number of years, they said Mount St. Helens was going to blow. And if you're truthful, how many of you believed that it was going to? And if you did believe it was going to, believed it was going to do what it did? Now let me ask you, how many of you have heard there's an earthquake going to happen? A really, really big earthquake. Now, we've got several choices that we can make with this information. You can ignore it. And evidence, like I imagine some did after the first few months of Moses returning, until it happens. You can pridefully and explain it away. You can run away to the land of tornadoes and hurricanes, severe weather winter, drought, disease, extreme heat, civil unrest, affordable, comfortable. It really doesn't matter, and it depends on what you're looking for. But there's no perfect place here on earth. You can live in fear. But that's what the enemy wants us to do. And who does the Bible say that we should fear the Lord, right? So, but then in Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with righteousness, with the righteous right hand. So, what do we do? Does prepare simply mean believe in God? It's the most important thing, I believe. And I don't envy Pastor Jeff's job week after week after week trying to prepare us. And it's difficult when you see people that hear the message but don't follow through with the message. You can prepare because prepare or preparation appears over 140 times in the Bible. To keep us grounded in the reality of our need for a Savior. God graciously allows us to see just how much we can't handle. After all, he gave Moses 600,000 impossible to please, unprepared travelers. Other biblical preparedness examples include some guy that built a boat for a few animals in a little weather. Noah, I think his name was. And that kind of turned out successfully. And then there were some brothers, some guy named Joseph. How was their planning? Let's dump him in the hole. Nah, let's sell him. Let's see. Think he'll lend us some grain? There are many ways to prepare and reasons to prepare. Again, Pastor Jeff does what I believe to be the most important preparedness class every week. And he works to prepare each of you for eternity. Me, all I do is work to prepare people to prepare for 72 hours or 14 days a month or a lifetime here on earth. In my role in emergency management, I go around and I do these talks. I talk for 10 minutes. I talk for hours. People say I talk a lot. I talk to small groups, businesses, government agencies, neighborhoods, others. I teach about preparing kits, preparing information, preparing families and friends, neighborhoods. Ironically, there's a program that I teach called Map Your Neighborhood. And it's much like Pastor was talking about, where we get away from this and we actually meet face to face. I ask people, do you know people three houses down on either side of you? Most don't. Don't know what they do. Don't know what their vocation is. Don't know how many children they have. Don't know if they have any needs within the family, whether it be seniors, babies, people with difficulties. This program really, truly coincides with what Pastor's talking about preparing people to help each other. And it's critically important, as evidenced by what's been going on here with the coronavirus. It saddens me to say that as we've experienced this current situation, many things that I had previously spoken about are coming true. Panic has overtaken common sense. Fear and rumors and blame dominate social media. And those that had time to prepare because of the discussions that we had procrastinated and now find themselves back by the yogurt in line at the grocery store at Winco. Or looking at the empty shelves at Costco in search of toilet paper. I had the great pleasure of going back to the National Fire Academy in Emmitsburg, Maryland, 10 miles south of Gettysburg, five different times. And on one occasion in my class, were leaders from all over the country. And on one occasion, one of my classmates had been the assistant director of Oakland's Emergency Management Department, which was unusual because most of the times classes I was in were all fire service. And this young lady had brought with her video and PowerPoint slides and asked how many of us had heard of the Loma Prieta earthquake, more commonly referred to as the World Series earthquake. Oh, I remember that. Because I was watching, and I believe it was Al Michaels was the announcer, and he was talking about, here we are, beautiful sunny day, San Francisco, California. TV blacks out, next thing we've just experienced an earthquake. The players are going to the field, their family members are coming out onto the field, and it was weird. And she showed us a little clip from that, and then showed us the videos of the area around San Francisco and Oakland. And we were all amazed at all of the people that were doing all of the things that they were doing. There was lots of help. Problem was, when she showed us that, or the timing of that video was not the initial timing of what was actually happening. And then she said to us, "What'd you think?" Of course, all of us, "Oh, that was so cool. You guys really got in there and did things, you know." She goes, "Let me ask you this. Who knows where the closest town to the epicenter of the earthquake was?" "Well, San Francisco. We saw it on TV." She goes, "No. No, the actual epicenter was nearly 40 miles south of San Francisco. A little town somewhere between the size of Longview Kelso was the closest town." And how many of you remember Nisqually, the little Nisqually earthquake we had here not too long ago? And we saw where buildings, older buildings had crumpled and things like that. Well, this earthquake happened near this town. It was actually out in the wilderness, the epicenter. But it devastated this town. Water lines were broke. Gas lines were broke. Fires. Buildings collapsed. She asked us, "Do you know how long it took for the first people from the outside to go to this town?" No idea. It was 10 days after that event before anybody from the outside world ventured into this town to check on them. That immediately caused me to pause and think, what does that mean for Cowlitz County? Because the mantra is most good for the most people. I don't know how to tell you this, folks, but we're not the most people. Seattle, obviously, Puget Sound area, they're going to get the first outside resources. Now, if it's 8.0 or a 9.0 earthquake, what does that mean? We don't know for sure, but I'm just, again, doing my what if. we're not going to be able to travel very far because bridges are going to be out, overpasses are going to be out, slides are going to occur, power lines are going to be down, phones are going to be out, you know, all of this great fun stuff. So I'm really not trying to bring you down. But the thing was, it made me think, what if? And what does that mean for us? And exactly what Pastor's talking about. So critically important. We have to know our neighbors. We have to be able to help each other. We have to know what skills and abilities each other have so that we can come together and survive such a terrible occurrence. And if we know how to do that, what we typically have, which is rain events that cause flooding or slides or things of that nature, are going to be a piece of cake. Or the occasional windstorm that blows through, or the snow, or whatever it may be, is going to be easy if we are prepared for the worst case. Worst case, make sure that you're here Sundays. Worst case, right? We got to make sure that we're prepared for eternity. But while we're here, God gives us tools. He gives us options to prepare. So I remember before I retired how the talk of the day was having a 72-hour kit. That was really cool. Then when I returned to the emergency service field, I heard about 14-day kits. We had friends at Walmart that donated a 5-gallon bucket to put together a 72-hour kit. That was about $100. Our friends at Fred Meyer's donated some tubs and allowed me to go shopping for supplies, and I built a $300 14-day kit. Now, not everybody has the means to go out and spend that kind of money to put these together. But if you start now, if you look around your house, there's things that don't cost any money, such as having that information, putting it on a thumb drive, or having the actual paperwork of emergency contacts, insurance companies, bank accounts, whatever it may be, that you might need in the event of a major catastrophe. And there's times to shop. We're coming into the spring, and what typically happens in the spring? People do spring cleanings. When they do spring cleanings, what do? They have garage sales, right? One man's treasure, another man's junk. You know, there's opportunities there. There is Black Friday shopping, Cyber Monday shopping. There are camping. Many of you probably camp. And if you camp, you probably got a leg up on most people because you've already got many of the supplies that are needed. But I'm telling you, even the 14-day kits, based on what we've experienced with the coronavirus, the 14-day kits may not be enough in the event of a bad happening. And I only say that because of what I am seeing and what I'm witnessing. And so us being prepared to help each other is truly the way to go here in Cowlitz County. Maybe what's happening right now is His way of giving us a heads up. And I do appreciate what He says. So are you prepared? And do you need to prepare for both here and spiritually? Pray with me, please. Lord, I just thank You for this opportunity to be here today. I ask that people, as they leave, that they hear the word, don't be afraid. We're not here to be fearful. We're here to be prepared and to love You and know that you are with us. Lord, I just ask that you would guide these people as they leave here today to be safe. The world outside's crazy right now, but you're in charge, and we're grateful for that. So, Lord, please guide us all as we go forth in this weeks ahead, and protect us and keep us safe. So grateful that you are here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Good guy. This is a great guy to have in this position because he knows this community and he knows our needs. How many of you got the email I sent out yesterday? Yeah, last night? How many of you got that? So, not too many. There's some people. If you didn't get it, just give me your email address today and I'll get it to you. I spent about 3 hours on that email. It was one of the most difficult things I've ever tried to prepare because I was trying to balance out what needed to be communicated and how to communicate it. It was really hard. I don't want to do that once a week or once a month or once a year. It's just too hard because our relationships with each other are really important. So, we got a couple minutes. Tell me how you guys are doing. How are you feeling? You just say it from where you're at. Just where you got. Yeah, Stephanie, how are you doing? Doing good? You're feeling good about what's going on right now and where you guys are at? Cool. You don't have to. I'm not looking for really bad news. I'm just wondering how you guys are doing. I want you to have a voice too. How about you guys, Katie and Andrew? How are you guys doing? Because of her health issues. Yeah. Can you guys hear?
Abby has really bad asthma, and a normal, you know, 2 or 3 day cold for her will last anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks. So I'm kind of concerned about if she contacts this flu, what it'll do to her. As for like whether we'll survive it or not, I'm not too worried. I'm more worried about surviving going to work right now than anything. I work in grocery, and as you know, toilet paper is insanely crazy. We had a delivery the other night, and the first hour of trying to break down the delivery, I was digging out toilet paper for people, and we were out of it before I got it on the shelf. But I had a guy come in yesterday twice, and in his 2 shopping trips, he had 5 baskets that totaled over $2,900. And so we've got people going crazy. They're getting upset and all that stuff. So I'm actually more worried about surviving work because there are fights breaking out and all that stuff. And a lot of the people who aren't finding stuff in Longview are coming down to us in Castle Rock because we don't have as many people coming in, the theory goes. So, yeah, it's been interesting.
Jody, the hospitals are crazy, too. Jody came home Friday like, people are nuts. What are they thinking? They're yelling and screaming at her because they can't get tests to be tested. Hopefully by Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, they'll have some more tests. And right now, you can go on a department of something. Some website, you can see what's going on in our county, and there's nothing in Cowlitz County yet, except that she did say that they've tested 8 people now in Cowlitz or at St. John's, and they haven't got the results back because they're taking 3 days to get the results. James, I'm sorry, you're in the midst of it with Teresa, and it's really hard. You just need to know our hearts are with you. Yeah, I've seen the messages that Marie's been sending out, mainly just letting people know what's going on. We're praying for you guys. Yeah. How you guys, Steve, how you feeling about what's going on?
For my age, I feel really good. I forgot my reading glasses today, but I had cataract surgery, and actually, I can see a lot better. So, yeah. You know, it's good. I got a job. I'm grateful for that, you know. So, it works. I get to play. I haven't played music for a while, so this has been kind of fun.
Love it. Yeah. Has anybody are any of your jobs threatened right now? Have they talked to you about that? Tell them what's going on.
Well, I work in a bank, so I mean, it's not really. I don't have to work with people that much except for touching their money. And so I have lots of like freaky, like, where's the hand sanitizer? Where's the Clorox wipes? And then like they're potentially going to shut some branches down depending on how bad it gets and not having people contact and just having drive up. But
what are they saying about not having, about the kids being out of school?
Well, I haven't heard any, I think one of the employees is she's posting on Facebook like, hey, contact me if you have anyone in school because they want to provide lunches for kids who can't have lunch during that time. But it's mostly just opinions of people that come in and they're like, oh my gosh, why are the kids not in school?
Yeah. It's kind of tricky. We've been talking a little bit about being there for each other, caring for each other. This is a great time to not wait for permission to help people. If you're looking for me to set up a program of how we can be helpful to each other, you're way behind. You have people in your families, people in your neighborhood, people that are around you that need your help right now. Like Serena's been coming with her two girls. She just got a job. She was in Family Promise since when? Since September. She's still in Family Promise. She got a job, but she's working 21 hours, 3 days a week, and she doesn't have childcare for her kids, so she's working on getting childcare right now. So there's an opportunity. If anybody wants, she's paying $20 for the time she's working. It's what she can afford, but like she's in that position now where she can move forward but doesn't have the resources to be able to actually go to work. And so... anybody else, are your jobs threatened? I just want to kind of get an idea if there's anybody, if that's actually happened with anybody. No? How are the rest of you guys doing? Let me hear. Yeah, Tammy.
I'm sorry, I'm probably going to cry, but I worry about my parents because they're more compromised, especially my dad. So I've been really getting after my mom to stay home as much as possible. If I need to go run and get something for him, I will. And I also worry about my brother-in-law, who just, he had heart valve replacement in September. And it's just a miracle that he's alive and moving forward. But that wasn't that long ago. So my sister's trying to be the one to go out and do things for him. So just trying to take care of the extended family.
Do you guys realize that the reason why kids aren't going to school is not because they're afraid of the kids getting sick, right? The most vulnerable population, average age is around 80 years old. What they're worried about is the kids infecting older people. They're not worried about the kids getting sick among themselves, but they're worried about exposing kids in a mass way to the coronavirus and then passing it on to people who are elderly and those people getting sick. That's what that's all about. So... yeah, Billy.
You said that people that are 80 or the ones that are 80 or over, is that, are they more prone to get it?
The average, most vulnerable group is that group.
Okay. Well, my dad is going to be 85 this year. He's my stepfather, but he raised me. But what is funny to me is I didn't even know about this coronavirus until but he told me. And it's like, he's always telling me, Billy, you need to, I don't have a TV, and he lives for the TV. He reads 5 papers a day. You know, he's really into this, right, with any kind of emergency or anything. And so what was funny is he told me about it, and I said, well, okay, but... because I'm a Christian, we are supposed to be listening to God and things of God rather than the world, right? So to me, I don't read the paper, I don't have a TV because it's not relevant, right? But my dad he's healthy at this point, but he is a little nervous about it, the coronavirus. And so I listened to all he had to say. I listened to him for like 40 minutes talking about it. But... yeah, I'm a little bit concerned because he's in his 80s. Yeah. So, but he's really up on it.
That sounds like You can learn. Randy and Pam aren't here today because of that. That's why they stayed home. And that's good. I mean, I said it in the email, and I've said it a couple times publicly. We've got really stay away from criticizing people who don't think the way we think. It's not helpful to criticize people who aren't handling this the way that you're handling it. Either way, if you're worried or if you're not worried, we just need to be there for each other. We need to walk with each other and listen to each other and care. That's why I'm asking these questions now. It's not because I'm trying to fix any problems today. It's because some of you, I think, may at times feel like you don't have a voice. Like nobody cares what's happening with me. They're just caring about what's happening with the whole population or caring about what's going on in China or India. The reality is, there's never been a time like we're in right now. We've never experienced this before. And so nobody really knows all the answers. Nobody has this all figured out. But the most foundational thing that we have right now in our lives is Jesus. And that's not changing. No matter how crazy things get, we're still going to believe and we're still going to stand on what we believe. It doesn't mean that we're better than anybody else, but it does mean that we have an answer that a lot of people don't have. And people may come to you in the next couple weeks and say, I don't understand why you're calm. Don't be afraid to tell them why you're calm. And don't tell them, I don't care about this. This is no big deal. You do care about it, even if you don't talk about it. But you can tell them, I have a relationship with God that gives me a strong foundation under my life. And if that isn't something you have, I'll help you get there. It's that simple. But don't hold back. Don't hold back. People are going to notice that you're not freaking out. Tell them why. Right? Amen. Yes. Yeah. Relatives are the rough ones.
I was pastoring up in North Bend, east of Seattle during Y2K. And my church panicked. A lot of people in my church panicked. Computers were going to shut down. The stores were going to close. You wouldn't have water. You wouldn't. So in the whole community, that was a big, huge. It's a lot like this without the sickness part of it, the chaos and the fear and the panic. Do you have any place off the grid that we can go? And Pastor, you're not warning the people properly. You know, you have to have them store up oats and water and. You know, so there's a lot of similarities with that. Well, just grain, all different stuff. I'm just saying, but this is unique in terms of the sickness aspect of it. But we aren't to be people of fear. You know, that's the main thing. You know, he's with us. He's always been with us. He was, you know, asleep in the boat when everybody else was freaking out. And, you know, that we're supposed to be the people that peace be still. That's our role.
That's good, Steve. One of the best reasons to come to church right now is so that you can leave with confidence that Jesus loves you. And again, Dan, you weren't in the room, but thank you so much for the way you led worship today. It was so delightful. Thank you for, I assume that God was leading you in the songs that you chose. Good job, Holy Spirit. You did great. So let's stand. We'll pray. Touch elbows, and you know, that as far as that goes, I am a hugger. And so if you get worried about that or offended by that, as you see me come near, just go. And I'll honor you. I won't rebuke you publicly. But I am not going to stop hugging people just because I'm worried about you. If you're worried about it, let me know. Just like, hey, you stop. And I'll honor your request. But other than that, it's all on. Lord, we are so grateful that we live in this city. Together with these people, under your watchful care, we love the way that you're taking care of us, Jesus. It feels so real and so alive. We pray for the rest of this community that feels fear right now, that the fear would drop off like old dirty clothes that don't need to be worn anymore, that fear would fall down. You are not the author of fear, Lord Jesus.
this is not the fear of the Lord that people are feeling. This is fear that comes from the enemy, and we pray that it would be stopped in our community, that there'd be an end to it. We pray that our heart's desire for loving each other would increase. We pray that faith in you would increase. We pray that hope for the days ahead would increase. We pray that prayer would increase in our city. It would cause us to pray more and spend more time with you, hearing your voice. It seems crazy that your voice should have to compete with the media, but we pray that your voice would be clearer than any other voice. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you so much for loving us. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day.